Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm Vanessa Lowry and your host for today's show. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they've written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host today is Andy Lowe, and he's with me in the studio. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, Vanessa. How are you today?
I'm good. He's part of the Business Radio X team, and he's also co-hosting Right Here, Right Now today, and I think is going to be our ongoing co-host moving forward.
Yeah, and I'm excited because you've got an extra special guest in the studio today, not just the two ladies that we're going to talk with, but is that your sister sitting next to you?
My sister, yeah. My mom's been visiting for a couple weeks, and so it's fun to have her in the studio so she can see, you know, what we do when we come in the studio. So
fantastic.
Yeah, she said she doesn't want to talk today, though, so she's just listening in.
All right, she's decoration. We like
that's
that.
Right. That's right. She's good decoration. And I'm excited about the guests we have in the studio today. We've got two workplace consultants who coach business professionals to embrace their superpowers. So we're going to be talking about superpowers, and it'll be interesting. By the end of the show, you might figure out what your superpower is too, Andy. So we'll see what they have to say. It's going to be a fun show.
As long as I get the uniform to go with it, I want to bust out of my shirt. You know,
that's right. All right. That's right. You'll have to look at the cover of Jennifer's book. There, somebody's busting out of their shirt.
There it is.
On
I love
the cover.
It.
But we're going to start our show today with the founder of the Red Cape Revolution, Darcy Eichenberg. She's recently launched Bring Your Superpowers to Work, Your Guide to More Clarity, Confidence, and Control. Her book is designed to help mid to upper level professionals identify and capitalize on their natural talents to grow their career. And then later in the show, we're going to talk to Dr. Jennifer Konweiler, author of The Introverted Leader, Building on Your Quiet Strength. She's a woman on a mission, determined to help introverted professionals thrive in an extroverted culture. So let me introduce our first guest. We have Darcy Eichenberg with a unique mixture of perspectives, passions, and practice as a leadership and workplace coach. Author and speaker Darcy Eichenberg founded the Red Cape Revolution as a way to help everyday professionals rediscover their superpowers, bring them to work, and make a bigger difference in their corner of the world. Working with clients such as the Coca-Cola Company, Microsoft, Deloitte Consulting, and State Farm, she's recognized for her ability to help today's busy professionals find clarity, confidence, and control in ways that work for their organizations and for themselves. Welcome, Darcy.
Hi, Vanessa. Thanks for having me.
I know, and it's so nice to have you here, and your book just launched last week. I was so lucky to come to your book launch party, which was a blast.
Thank you. We had a great time, and it was a great crowd of people from all over the community just to be together and celebrate and for an opportunity for me to say thank you. It takes a lot to put a book together.
And
you need it takes a village for a book, too.
That's true. And it's good to have a good village around you.
Absolutely.
So your book is titled Bring Your Superpowers to Work, Your Guide to More Clarity, Confidence, and Control. Why did you decide to write this book?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have been doing leadership and workplace coaching for several years. And before that, I was an HR consultant and worked with many Fortune 500 companies on change management, communication change, behavior change in a large corporation, and just really saw a lot of patterns of people feeling stuck, that they didn't have any alternatives to what they were doing, and yet wanting more, wanting to make a bigger difference, wanting to make a bigger contribution. As I evolved into my coaching in leadership and workplace, I realized that there actually were tools and ideas and things that could be simple and accessible, that you didn't have to change everything in your life in order to change your life at work. And so that was some of the genesis around my business, Red Cape Revolution. You know, the thought of remembering when you were a kid and you grabbed a towel and you threw it around your shoulders and, you know, you felt like you were very clear about what you could do. You felt like you were in control. And what if we could have that feeling at work? So my goal was to give people the tools, the simple ideas where, you know, they could believe in themselves again, where they could create a better life at work without having to change every single thing in their current life.
Well, and I love that idea of I love that visual of the red cape, because it's such an easily accessible visual for pretty much everybody, because like you said, that's such a common experience for for us when we were kids.
Right. And
you became that superhero for whatever amount of time.
Right. And it's really interesting when I am doing speaking in large groups, and I'll just say that you see people actually put their shoulders back and change their physicality thinking about putting that red cape on. You don't need to have an actual red cape in order to feel like, yeah, that felt good. How can I create and sustain that feeling? So, you know, really my work and the work at Red Cape Revolution is helping people get there. I have a belief that when more of us are there, we're working in a space where we feel clear about what we are, confident and in control, we can change the world. We can change the little part of the world we're in and the broader world that we all share.
Well, and can you describe a little more specifically who would benefit from actually reading your book and incorporating some of these things into their work?
Sure. The genesis of the book really came from the busy, everyday corporate professional. You know, it came from the person who is in the middle of the work in a large corporation. And those have been a lot of my favorite clients and the people who I've seen dramatic change in. And also the people who, you know, are trying to have a great life, but also really want to be successful at work, but sometimes find that they're successful on paper and not successful on their own terms, not successful in feeling good about what they're doing, you know, feeling like they're accomplishing something. And so the book is really for that professional who, you know, maybe has a good job, maybe is making decent money, but feels like there's something missing and yet doesn't want to chuck it all and move to Vermont and milk goats. And I mean, there is so much of the media world right now that's around, if you want to change at work, you have to quit your job and go to the extreme. And that overwhelms people. And I find that in working with a lot of the people, these busy professionals who are very successful on paper, it becomes very overwhelming to think, well, the only change I can make is an extreme change. So someone who can make simple, practical changes to change their own experience. So that's the kind of person who the book is really aimed for and who, you know, I hope can find a tidbit to take away that does make a change for their experience at work.
Well, and I know a lot of corporations with the cutbacks and that kind of thing, that the people that are still working have bigger jobs than they used to, and they have to work more hours, or they have more responsibility than they had before. So how does incorporating your superpower help you manage that extra responsibility that many people have in a corporate setting?
One of the things that I find very interesting is that people don't give themselves credit for having more control than they do. The people who are still working and, again, successful in today's corporation actually have a lot more choice and control than they believe. And I do think it really comes down to three things. You know, the first one is clarity. It is getting really clear about what is unique and special and amazing about you. We're kind of taught to put ourselves down to some degree to focus on the team, which is terrific to be part of a team, but we have to have that belief and knowledge in ourselves of, this is the contribution I make. This is the great thing that I can do. And so having the clarity and then the confidence to say, well, I'm going to bring that forth. If I know that I am actually great in the financial analysis part and I'm not doing a whole lot of it, you know, how can I step that part up? How can I offer to do more of that while at the same time maybe taking control and choosing not to do certain other things, or saying, I want to shift my job. I want to change the different things. I find that people are very often thinking, they're waiting for others to decide to change. It's the John Mayer song, Waiting for the World to Change,
right,
instead of taking control and saying, oh, if I want some change, I can ask for it. And very often, our companies today, I'm finding through my clients, are more than willing to try and figure out how do we make it match.
Well, and I know even one of the workshops that you teach and some of the keynotes that you do has to do with learning how to brag.
Absolutely.
Effectively.
Uh-huh. Brag so others don't gag. Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. And that's kind of like embracing that superpowerness of yourself,
right,
and being able to say that to somebody else, to
right,
say, this is what I do really well, and you're really just looking for results, so let me do this part that I do really well and have somebody else do the parts that I don't do as well.
Right, and the thing that I think we've been falsely taught about, you know, brag being a four-letter word, because when we are confident, when we're good at something, you know, there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. We're good at something. It's our gift. And I do believe, the world's full of problems, and we need more solutions. And if we're not bringing what we know we can do, you know, if I'm not out there telling people, you know, I can help in the workplace and I can change, you know, help people change their own lives at work. I mean, that's my gift to bring. You don't have to accept that gift. But if I'm not out talking about it, if you're not out talking about your gifts, then how can the world find it to solve the problems that there are? So I believe there's a bigger reason. And I believe it can be, I know it can be done in ways that don't come off making you look bad, that still make you look very honest and confident. I think there's a Dizzy Dean quote that says, "It ain't bragging if it's true."
That's right. That's a great quote.
So I ask people what's true about them.
Well, and I know that in your book that you actually have a superpower generator to help people discover and identify what their own superpower is so that they can start to embrace that in work. So what are some examples of some of the superpowers that people have found that they have by going through this generator?
Sure. Well, the generator, which is also online, so it's on redcaperevolution.com. I have a free tips and tools section, and so you can access it for free online. So it is in the book for those who are not online. But part of the process is really to do an inventory, to really recognize what are all the things that are unique, amazing, and different about you. And beyond what we typically do in corporations and in organizations, we often do talent assessment or competency lists or even just skills or strengths. But the superpower statement generator diagnoses more things than just the traditional. So things like, what are the learnings you've had? What are the unique experiences? What are the resources that you bring? I have a client who is a healthcare consultant, and she loves her job, but a few years ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And when she stepped aside, now, thankfully, she's a survivor. But when she came back to work, she realized she couldn't work in the exact same way anymore. And when we talked about it, she was at the point where she thought she had to find a whole new job. We talked about it and realized she was keeping all the experiences and learnings and ideas that she had developed through her journey through breast cancer, totally separate from her work in helping companies assess and create and design their health plans. Once she brought them together, once she was trying not to be two different people, she was actually able to be a better consultant to her clients, because part of her superpower was the learning and experience that she had as a breast cancer survivor. And when she would bring that to her clients, it was a much richer experience. She's still at that company. She's still enjoying what she's doing, and being very successful, but feeling very complete because she's not keeping any part of herself back. So those unique experiences that happen in our life that we often say we have to park over there can become part of someone's superpowers.
Well, and I think that's a great point to make, that we each have such a unique blend of knowledge and experience and the people that we know, that, bringing all that together can really help us launch our superpowers into the stratosphere.
Right. And, it's not rocket science. I'm not sitting here saying that I think that this is something that only I can do. I think this is very accessible, but we haven't had permission in the environment, especially in large corporations, to bring more of yourself into the work. I think we're in an age, I think we're at a turning point where people want that. People want to be fully present in everything that they're doing. You spend a lot of time of your life at work. So why not be fully who you are while you're there and not be somebody else?
That's right. That's right. Well, I'd like to just shift gears just a little bit to actually talk about your publishing journey. Here on the show, we like to talk to make it so that our listeners can, if they haven't published a book, they kind of get a little feeling for what that's like to do that. So you're really a business professional. You have a coaching business, a consulting business, and I know you travel and you speak. So how were you able to work writing into your schedule to get this book created?
Yeah. When I started my business, I never had a vision that I would do a book. I actually did not identify myself as a writer, surprisingly, even though all of my life I had written. I did a monthly newsletter for my business as a marketing piece, which many, you know, people do, and had gotten really good response from the monthly newsletter. And over time, I realized there was something else I needed to say. There, I needed something as more of a platform. And but the book I started out to write isn't the book that ended up. The book I started out to write actually led me to crystallize my business brand, you know, the Red Cape Revolution brand, some of the language that I'm using. And so the exercise of sitting down to write actually helped do that. So it helped form my business in many ways. When that exercise formed my business, and then I knew that I did want to do a book, the next step was create the space, create the time. And, you know, I blocked the time off on my calendar. I made accountability dates with, you know, my coaches and with other friends. You know, I also had explored, I had an agent who had contacted me, I explored a traditional route, and just realized for my business, I wanted to have the book as an end state to support the broader things that I wanted to do. And so that also helped me plan my time and what I was giving up to some degree to write and to execute it and, you know, and to get it done in a timely way. It is the kind of thing that would have been very tempting, and there were times along the way where I said, well, maybe not now, or maybe it's not done yet, or maybe it's not good enough yet. I just said, you know what? Done is better than perfect.
Right.
Let's rock and roll and get it out. You know, I also had great inspiration, you know, friends like your next guest, Jennifer Konweiler, who when I first met, her first book had just come out. And, you know, knowing that real people that I know actually do this, this isn't a thing that is left for some mysterious group. So that helped me know that I could do it too.
So did you, from start to finish, how much time did it take from the time you said, okay, I'm going to write a book until you had the published book in your hand?
It's a really great question that I've been asked a lot and I don't have a good answer for, because some of the book that I started a year and a half or so ago made its way into this book, but in different forms.
Uh-huh.
And some of it was evolved out of my blog at redcaperevolution.com. So, you know, all in all, if I had to put every day together, it might have been a 3 to 6 month process, but over the course of a couple years. So,
well, and I know your book just came out. I mean, just within the last month. So, if somebody was going to ask you, did you feel like it's worth it? Do you have enough information at this point to say if it's been worth it to do that?
It's absolutely been worth it. It's absolutely been worth it. In order, you know, to just there's a satisfaction of having your ideas out there. There's even the greater satisfaction of people reading it and saying, I walked away with something, which, you know, again, as doing what I do in speaking and doing leadership and workplace coaching, you get that on individual basis or in audiences. But to have people who you don't know write you and say, oh, I read this, or I saw this, or somebody gave me this, you know, and so now it is using it as a platform builder for my business, using it within my speaking engagements and allowing me to extend these ideas and, you know, hopefully the inspiration that, you know, you can make changes in your life at work without having to change everything in your work to a bigger group.
And so would you do anything differently next time you publish a book?
It's a good question. You know, I had a good team of resources together to be able to execute it, and there were things that I would have upscaled more. I might have invested more in covers and thinking about the content and the length. So there were lots of those little things. I also probably wouldn't get as hung up over, do I know enough about publishing, and so many things are shifting and changing.
Right.
You can get really sucked into all the movement that's out there in the publishing world. And I just had to keep coming back to, what is this for me? You know, I'm not going to play the games. This is for my business, for my clients, for my peeps, you know, my tribe. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, you know, and I'm responsible. I'm responsible for getting it out there. I'm responsible for sharing it and making the most of it. So once I kept coming back to me, then I could close out all of the other stuff, the buzz that's in the industry about you should be doing that and you should be doing this.
Well, and I think the first time you do something, you don't even know what you don't know.
Right.
So having done it once, you've got a better feeling for the things that you might want to look at closer next time.
Yeah, and I'll continue to learn. You know, I do read a lot about what's happening in the industry. I probably, to some degree, always had, but never really process it as to, oh, now it's about me and things that
right.
I do. So, but yeah, it's been a great journey. You know, I highly recommend it. But it is a commitment.
So how do our listeners find out more about you and the Red Cape Revolution and buy your book? How would they do that?
So the book is on Amazon, so you can just search, you know, Bring Your Superpowers to Work, and it'll be right there. But you can also come to redcaperevolution.com, and there's a link that says the book, and there's other links, more about me, more about Red Cape Revolution, and you can sign up at Red Cape Revolution, and you can download the free first chapter as well as audio of that, and then you'll also receive my ongoing community news twice a month. I send out updates from my blog and just other information and free tools. So we'd love to have people on your listeners join the community.
That's awesome. Well, and I would love for you to hang out in the studio with us while we talk to Jennifer, and then
great. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much. And our next guest is Dr. Jennifer Konweiler. She's an Atlanta-based international speaker, executive coach, and author who specializes in helping introverted people develop into powerful leaders. Her book, The Introverted Leader, Building on Your Quiet Strength, has sold over 20,000 copies and has been translated into 6 languages, including Spanish and Chinese. She co-authored Shaping Your HR Role, Succeeding in Today's Organizations, and has led seminars in Tokyo, Barcelona, the UK, and the Netherlands. Dr. Konweiler has held internal and external HR positions at companies such as GE, Turner Broadcasting, Brightpoint, Invesco, Pfizer, the CDC, and the Space Telescope Science Institute. Welcome, Jennifer.
Welcome. Thank you so much. Well, thank you. I'm saying welcome to you like it's my show, Vanessa. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, it's so exciting to have you here. And we know lots of people in common, so your name has come up to me over the years numerous times. So it's so nice to actually meet you.
It's wonderful to meet you. And, you know, that's what they always say in PR. You want people to say, I see your name everywhere.
That's right.
That's the goal. So I'm glad that's the case.
That's right. And I love the whole idea of the introverted leader. And it's the cover is so cool. It's such a cool cover. It's kind of a Clark Kent close-up of a business jacket and a dress shirt being opened up with their superpower suit.
There you go.
Underneath.
That's our segue to wonderful. I have to just say, I'm so thrilled to be here today with Darcy, because there is a relationship, right, to
absolutely
tapping into the whole theme of who you are as an introvert and giving you permission to do that. So interesting about the cover, this was a collaborative effort. The publishing company I work with is very collaborative, Barrett Kohler. So everyone had a say on the cover.
Wow.
And one of my most fun editors there, who's a real introvert, kept pushing for the super person cover. My only pushback was there was no woman. You know, I'm
really
into women's rights. So. But it seemed to be a minor concern. Maybe the next one we'll have a woman.
That's right. So how might an introverted leader's superpowers be different than an extroverted leader's superpowers?
Oh, wonderful question. Well, they both lead, right? But they do it in different ways. And in this book, I really define leader as somebody who had an influence, who got things done through people. And so it was really, like Darcy, drawn upon a lot of my background and experience, as you had mentioned, in some of those diverse organizations, right, I've been exposed to. One of the things that introverts do very well is listen. Now, I can't say that for all extroverted leaders. In fact, there's quite a bit of research to the contrary. And of course, great ideas bubble up and innovations happen when people feel like they're listened to.
Mm-hmm.
They are also very, introverted leaders are very calm under pressure. So think of an example of a woman I worked with who is in a very busy newsroom at CNN. And when crises around the world break, she maintains a calm, relaxed face that really transmits to everyone in there. And so they say how comforting that is to know that she's not going to overreact and that she's going to really be calm in her reactions. They tend to also be wonderful observers. So they may not be the person who speaks first at the meeting, but their intuitive powers are really sharp because they have that skill really developed and that natural strength to observe everything that's going around them.
So they might notice things about either individuals or teams that other leaders might not really see.
Absolutely. And that gives them an edge, certainly, when they're planning their strategy. I had a CEO actually the other day tell me that on his way from the bus to the office, he comes up in those 15 minutes while everybody else is listening to their iPhones and talking on them. He's just in his moment, and he's reflecting about how what he's going to do as soon as he opens that door and he goes into his first meeting. And he may decide he's going to let the discussion flow, or he's going to take a more assertive stance. But that's all determined from his energy that he generates within. The extroverted leader is nothing's wrong with that approach, but they tend to not take that time that makes them more effective strategically.
Well, and I would think, too, the power of observation would be a key factor in innovation. There's so much talk about innovation in companies now that, and the way you innovate is to notice things that other people don't notice and implement something to solve a problem or to create a solution.
Exactly. I was just listening to an interview, as like you're doing, with Jim Collins on his new book, which I'm excited to read. And he talks about the best companies now being the ones that have a combination of creativity and discipline, which I think is wonderful. It really fits. And the effective introverts that I have worked with have that as well. They're in their heads, but they also act when they need to.
So how is introversion different from shyness?
Great question. All of your questions are good.
Well,
thank you. Obviously very well prepared because you've got a terrific script there, but you're also extemporaneous. How is it different? Shyness tends to be more of a problem. It tends to be a psychological, socially related anxiety that can be a real inhibitor. Introversion is really more of how you're hardwired. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily a problem at all. It's just how you are. And people really mix up the two. In fact, there was a Time cover story that I was, you know, very pleased to be interviewed for a few weeks ago, a Time magazine. And even though the whole article is about introversion, and it went into a very in-depth scientific analysis of the topic, the cover still said something on shyness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So even though all of the experts, myself included, talked to the reporter,
that's
not what it is. But, you know, shyness sells. And introversion still is a term that's getting more into the lexicon, but it's not there yet. But I'm very excited, like Darcy is, about more of the permission now to accept these kinds of differences.
So what are some of the challenges that introverts face in the workplace?
Well, you know, there's so many, but four I'll pick out for you right now that come to mind. One is people exhaustion.
That was one of the things I was going to ask you later on, so... I actually find that myself when I'm around, because I am a natural introvert.
Yes.
And when I'm around people too much, it really is exhausting for me. And I
absolutely.
So I think to myself that if I worked in a company where I had to be around people all day, I don't know how I would do that.
One of the great advantages, the great things that has happened with this remote workplace, is that introverts have now more options. I was talking to my editor the other day. I said, boy, I need a break from all those minis. He said, you're starting to sound like an introvert. And I said, you know what? That is true. We do become that way. So let's see. We were talking about
the challenges.
You can tell I'm not an introvert.
But I would like to jump ahead while we're talking about people exhausted.
But you're sounding very extroverted, Vanessa,
what?
Right now.
I can play that role.
See, there you go. There you go. But you were saying about that, yeah.
So how do people overcome people exhaustion? I know that you've...
Great question. Okay, what they have... Being introverted, let me just back up just a little bit. Being introverted is about where you get your energy from. Now, introverts get their energy internally, right? So to recharge, think of about a battery that mm-hmm. drains, right? You have to plug it in the wall and recharge it. So when I first got interested in this topic, I think, over 40 years ago when I met my husband, I used to think that when he went in the separate part of our little apartment and kind of stood away from me after a social gathering, a dinner party, let's say, that I thought that he didn't like me anymore and that my friends were right and I should have not married this guy. And what I realized at that time, that he needed to recharge. That was his reboot, his recharge. And when I learned about this whole topic of introversion, it really opened me up. So recharging is critical. In answer to your question, people that are successful at this, who are introverts, they plan for those breaks. They block, as Darcy was mentioning, how she writes and blocks time on the calendar. If they're going to a conference, for instance, they'll look at the schedule ahead of time and figure, when can I go outside and take a break? When can I go to my room? And you'll find them on the elevators. you know, getting out of there. And even, by the way, for us extroverts, that can be an overload of stimulation. So people exhaustion is a huge issue, but it can be overcome.
So what are a couple of other challenges other than people exhaustion that introverts face?
Another huge one, Vanessa, is negative impressions. Now, introverts will oftentimes tell you that they're really fine and they're just thinking, but the people that are anxious, mostly the extroverts, are saying to them things like, what's wrong? Or they'll say to their friends, what's with that guy? You know, he's kind of thinks he's better than us. You know, he's not talking to us. There's all these kind of negative impressions. And what I call it is the perception gap. It's what you're putting out there as an introvert. You're not intending to look that way, but that's what people are picking up. And what we all know, right, common knowledge, perception is everything. And so introverts, as you talk about overcoming, they can do things like you mentioned. You act extroverted in this radio interview. They can act as if, right, at times. But that can be very exhausting. So they also need to communicate with people. When I close my door, for instance, and I'm away from you for a while, that's my regroup time. And people go on the team go, oh, okay, that's what's going
on.
So as
long as they communicate clearly with their team that this is what I'm doing and this is about me. It's not about you.
It's not about you. You've had that conversation. I can tell.
I just need this time to be a better manager, a better leader. So.
Exactly. So people exhaustion, negative impressions. Another one is the undersell. Very much related to what Darcy was saying. You talk about not bragging on yourself. Introverts tend to be, because they're quieter, and who is speaking up about what's going on with them. Managers today are so busy that they don't have the time to go ask you, Vanessa, what are you working on? Tell me about your achievements. You know, you're thinking, well, they probably should know, right? Maybe you'll let them know. I don't mean to keep picking on you. I'm just using you as an example.
Use me, that's fine.
Use me. So I mean, people will pick up on that as, they're in the, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know.
So the folks that could benefit from reading your book are those that are introverted and they want to learn how to have a better impression at work and to be able to manage what they're doing at work better.
Here's what I'd say. The subtitle of my book is Building on Your Quiet Strength. It is not to change who you are. It is to get some tools. And that's how I first backing into the book. That's how I first wrote it. I wrote it because so many introverts said to me, you know, I'm reaching a plateau, or I can't get this project through, or my manager won't listen to me. Give me an idea. And they would take those ideas in my seminars and my coaching, and they would just grab them and run. And so I thought, you know, that's where I came up with the book idea. So those are some other things that happened.
So they probably almost felt like it was a life raft that, oh, here's something that I can
finally
do.
Most of mine. I have a few critics. Don't we all? most people are very, the book's been very successful. It's a bestseller in my company. And as you say, it's been published around the world and continues to remain a bestseller.
Well, and I know that Darcy's book just came out, but you've actually published this book and co-authored another book that have both been out for several years. This The Introverted Leader came out in 2009, and your other book was
2005. Yeah, that was a co-written book with my husband. Bill is a professor at Georgia State University.
So I've got kind of a two-part question with that. I'm curious how the writing experience was different for you co-authoring a book versus doing your own book is the first part of that
question.
You see
me smiling. How do I put this delicately?
I didn't realize it was your husband that you co-authored that first book with.
That's another question, right? You could ask Bill, too. We both agree on one thing, and that is we will never write another book together. I remember calling our publisher, who was in England at one point when we were at our worst disagreements, and she got very worried. She told us later she didn't think the book was going to be finished. But our solution was Starbucks, because
if
we went to Starbucks, we had to act civil.
Oh, that's good.
So there you go. We got
some ground rules.
Ground rules. And, you know, I learned an incredible amount. One of the greatest things I learned about it, besides not working with Bill again, was that I could write a book.
Yeah.
That I could write a book. And that was a real, as Darcy will probably agree, that it's a confidence booster.
Right, absolutely.
And you also learn some of the processes each time. You get better and better at it.
Well, and it's good sometimes to have an experience and know, I don't need to do that again.
Exactly.
So then you can decide, okay. And it might be a different experience if you were co-authoring with someone else that you weren't quite so close to.
You're exactly right. I think co-authoring is difficult, though. My daughter is a writer as well, and she collaborates. She's a millennial One of the things she does is, you know, they write, they're very collaborative.
Yeah.
And she talks to me about the joys and the pains of that as well. So I think anytime you're partnering on anything, it's a little more work in some respects, but it also creates a lot of great ideas as well.
Well, and the three books that I've published have all been collaborative efforts, and that's fun for me. You know, it's
there you go.
Even as an introvert, it's fun for me to collaborate with people.
What have you liked about that experience?
There's a couple of different things. I like having the different perspectives of different people on the same topic. So to see what different people think about it and the way that they approach it differently. And I also love that it's a faster process, and that it's that we all are marketing the book to our own network, so we get wider exposure than we would if it was just a single authored book for us. So it's, you know, it's been really fun for
That's
me
wonderful.
To do that.
And it's also, you're sounding like it's a team, because teams have the same goal,
right?
And so the problem becomes when somebody's not pulling their weight, et cetera, that can happen on things like school projects and things like that. But that's fantastic.
I do think successful collaborations are having a single goal and everybody having very clear communication at the beginning of the project to say, this is what we're doing, this is when it's going to happen, these are the deadlines that we're meeting.
Absolutely.
And that makes it much easier for people to even make an initial commitment to say, yes,
I
want to
do
it, or mm-hmm. I don't have time. You know, it's a good idea, but I don't have time. So,
well, I would like to add one of my learnings from my last book. You asked Darcy about about learnings that really speaks to what you're saying about deadlines and accountability. Is this time I brought on an additional editor. Now, my publishing company is terrific about leadership and editing my book, but I felt like I needed somebody else to walk through this writing with, in this new book I'm writing on quiet influence, and it's been a godsend. And so she's not co-writing the book with me, but we have certain dates at which I provide her chapters that I get some feedback on before I then go to my publisher. So this has been a real plus. And if I had done that last time, it probably would have been less painful for me.
Yeah. Well, and as Darcy said, I mean, I do think anybody writing a book needs a village, whether you're a single author or whether you're doing collaborative book, but it does take a lot of different people to make that happen.
And I think it's really important, you know, what Jennifer's saying too about finding and even hiring the support that you need.
Totally.
Because so many times I think people are resistant, especially if it's an entrepreneur or business person, you know, you become resistant because it feels like a cost, but really it's an investment. You know, and you know, by Jennifer being self-aware enough and smart enough to say, this is what I need to really have mm-hmm. what I'm going to be, you know, proud of and what really is going to continue to bring us, I would say, you know, your superpowers to the fore, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people and not just hoping that it will happen. You know, I can't compliment her enough for taking that investment, even as accomplished as she already is. I think it's a fantastic thing to do.
I'm blushing. Can't say it on the radio.
Well, and you know, as we're talking about superpowers, we all have our superpowers, but we need other people's superpowers to make things
exactly.
really be excellent. You know, there's a difference between perfect and excellent, mm-hmm. and we want things to be as excellent as they can, but we don't want perfect to stop us, but we want to bring other people in and their superpowers to make it be really excellent.
I love a couple of things Darcy said about not listening to all the opinions, too. You have to filter, too, what you get.
Right.
That was one thing I loved about what you said. Mm-hmm. And then just knowing how those people can contribute and help you. One real aha and very nice surprise, and Darcy, you can tell me, you've probably experienced this. People are so in your corner.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. As you're writing, how's the book coming? You know, sometimes you don't want to talk to them because they're like, oh, I'm only on page two.
That was part of my challenge.
Yeah.
As I really decided and started using the language that I was a writer,
yes.
which again was a surprise for people around me who always said, well, you know, you write.
Of course
I read what you write every month.
And, you
know, right. But to me, it had been a sideline as opposed to, you know, something that was in my primary wheelhouse. But then having people respond to, you know, instead of saying, I'm thinking about writing a book or I'm trying to write a book, it's like, I'm writing a
yes.
book, and have people say, oh, terrific. How's it going?
I remember how happy I was
right.
when you said that. Mm-hmm. And people are just rooting for you, and they're writing you with all kinds of ideas, which is fabulous. And I'm having to interview people for this next book. That's usually my style, interview, and then I record them. And I am just getting great ideas out. Like, well, I need a person who fits this criteria, and people will respond. And as well as social media, it's not just our smaller community. So, you know, people are very positive when you take that step.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Jennifer, before we get too far, tell people how they can find you and how they can buy your book and how they can
sign
up for your newsletter.
Absolutely. Well, my website is About You, Inc., A-B-O-U-T, youinc.
I love that.
.com.
I think that's so cool.
I've had it through my several businesses, and it seems to be work very well. And I have a blog, the introvertedleaderblog.com, which you can get through that. And also, I'm big on social media. So my Twitter, I'd love people to follow on Twitter, and I'll follow you as well, is introvert leader. It's just one word, introvert leader. Also have LinkedIn and Facebook, but those are the main ways. And the book is available on Amazon and all the major outlets.
That's awesome.
The Introverted Leader, Building on Your Quiet Strengths.
Cool. Well, we have just about a minute before we have to wrap up. Do either of you have a closing comment that you would like to make before we finish?
Well, I think it's really interesting and kind of a small world that we're here today, because I think some of Jennifer's work, you know, helped inspire me to do my work. And I hope that, you know, things that people will see that I do and that she's continuing to do inspire other people to go out and really put the things that are unique and amazing about them into print and put it into the world. Because, you know, I think that people are still gaining great ideas from books and use it to inspire and support what they want to do.
That's awesome. And I do think it's so important for all of us to embrace the things that are so wonderful and unique about ourselves, and that's how we can bring our best selves to work. Mm-hmm. So thank both. I thank so much for both of you for being on the show, for Darcy Eichenberg and for Jennifer Kalmweiler. And
thank you, Vanessa.
And we appreciate this. Was really a
it was
great
fun.
Show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we welcome your comments and suggestions about content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or would like to be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Send us an email, whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Andy, for co-hosting with me today.
It was an easy ride-along.
It's great to have you here. And thank you to my guests, Darcy Eichenberg and Dr. Jennifer Kalmweiler. Darcy, can you just share your contact information once more
with
our listeners?
Sure. Go to redcaperevolution.com, and you can find it all there.
Excellent. And Jennifer?
Introvert leader on Twitter.
Excellent.
And jkalmweiler@gmail.com.
So. Okay. Thank you so much. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at rightchoiceservices.com. Dr. Tim will be back in the studio next week, and I hope that you'll join us then. Tell your friends about the show. In fact, how about sending them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to download some of our previous shows? Listen to Right Here, Right Now live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at righthererightnow.businessradiox.com. or download the MP3 version of all the interviews on the Right Here, Right Now website. I'm guest host Vanessa Lowry. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right Here, Right Now.